Welcome to the Clicks and Giggles podcast. I'm your host, Jordan Rothwell Perry, and I'm here to make your marketing click, connect, and convert. My mission is to help good people with great offers make more money through paid digital marketing strategies. I truly believe that one ad can change everything for you and your business. Tune in weekly to unlearn what the bros and insert air quotes agency gurus have led you to believe about advertising and hear from inspiring women in my network who are making business a little more live, laugh, launch and a little less stuffy suit and tie. Because nobody playing the long game is having a terrible time. Whether you're new to business, making millions, or you're just my mom tuning in for clicks and giggles, you are welcome here in the room. Get ready for a good time. All right, on the Clicks and Giggles podcast today, I have the Macy McNeely and Catherine Schubert, Cat, Kitty, or whatever you want to call her, right, of Guide Culture. But they are the sales girls, and I am so excited to have the sales girls here with me today. They have taught me so much. I work with them and buy their ads, and it's such a pleasure to work with them and support their mission. But today we're going to have some fun, and we're going to talk business. We're going to talk about maybe here and there what makes them giggle, which there's lots of laughs over there in their office. And I'm just so excited to have y'all here today. So I could introduce y'all, but I think I would not do it justice. So Macy, if you want to just tell everyone a little bit about you, how this came to be, and then how Kat came into the mix. And then Kat, I'd love for you to give a little intro too.
Yeah. So, you know, Kat and I have like a very similar backstory in terms of just being a high achieving woman. Like we have always had a history of things really working when hard work was put in, cause and effect, right? We studied really hard, worked hard in sports, was always just like winning because of the effort. And we got a big drink of ice cold water on our face when we came into business and saw that hard work doesn't always equal results. And results, what we're talking about is money, is sales. Yeah. Like that is the grade on the test. And you know, it seems like no matter how much of the sharing and the creating and the posting and all of that work, it wasn't necessarily equaling sales. And So for me personally, like I was giving it my all. I was in a job that honestly it wasn't, I actually enjoyed it and I love the people, but I knew like I wanted freedom. I knew I wanted out of these four walls. It was a cube. I was as my husband calls it, a cube monkey. Get out of this cube. Like, get me out of here, right? And that's when I started just playing with entrepreneurship and started sharing my whole life, and just really assuming that people like knew my intentions, like knew that I was gonna like trying to get them to buy something. And my dad was my biggest supporter and also my most, I don't want to say critic, but he gave me a lot of really tough feedback. And one of the pieces of feedback was, you are coming off so ashamed to sell. Like, what if you were just proud of what you sold? And that's when he really kind of opened my eyes to what it meant to really sell effectively and sell intentionally. And this was not a new conversation. In fact, my whole life, he had really told me the power of sales skills as he grew up really poor, learned how to sell. And when he did, he went from growing up on a dirt road and having shoes that didn't fit him to now has, you know, a beachfront property on Rosemary Beach. Like those skills were the very thing that changed generations forever, like truly. And the more I learned how to sell, the more I saw other people didn't know how to sell. I couldn't unsee it. I was like, they are ashamed just like I was. And that's when I went to my dad and I said, hey, let's pull a training together to help people have what I now have. And that's where the School of Sales came from. And Kat was in our like second cohort. And from day one, she was all in and transformed. She had a 3-week old baby and did not miss a single call, not a single lab, came to every in-person thing, to the point where we were just like, okay, Kat, you are adding so much value to this company. Just come on in. I mean, for like a year, she was just showing up, doing her thing, growing, being the star student that she is. And now here we are. It's like been together 4 years now. And it's been the ride of a lifetime.
Amen. Oh my gosh. Amen. You did such a good job that I feel like now I can have a little bit of fun because when I was that student with the 3-week-old baby, I remember, you know, we're on Zoom calls. I had just like learned what a Zoom call was pretty much. I missed my first call because I didn't know what Zoom, like how to do this. And I like had Lucy, I was like breastfeeding her and Lloyd's on this call. And I'm like, oh my gosh, that camera was supposed to be off and this one's supposed to be on. And it's just funny. And it's such a demonstration of just like, do it, you know, just do it where you are in life. And it's okay. Like, it's okay that your life looks different and you can still give it your all. So that was really fun. You know, it's one of the reasons I knew that going all in with this like mission, it wasn't the program I went all in on. It wasn't, you know, Macy and Lloyd. It was this like idea that, oh my gosh, like I was also ashamed. I also assumed people knew my intentions. I also, you know, was confused as to why being fun and cute and, you know, lively. Why wasn't that enough? I thought that that always got me into, not that my personality, but like the charisma and the hard work always got me somewhere, you know, and like you get A's and you get to not be on the bench for cheerleading anymore because you get the private lessons, you know, whatever it was, it always worked out. But finally, when I was like, oh, there's an answer to why this isn't working. It's not me. I'm not broken. I didn't just suddenly break after I started trying to sell something, which I had no idea I was actually in sales because I left my dietitian career to do network marketing because, well, the people were driving beautiful cars and they had beautiful homes and they're able to fly private. I was like, excuse you? Like, you've got 5Ks and you're what are doing, you doing this? Like, yeah. Let's go. So, but I had no idea they were in sales. Not a single, like, that's not what was in my head, but I did want that life. I wanted freedom, just like Macy said. And yeah, so it was just like very confusing as to why like things were not adding up, you know, at all. But this was the answer, was the way you communicate to people, the way that people understand what it is you're trying to say changes everything. So that business I was in at the time grew tremendously. I even started selling for other people. Like when I would join a mastermind, they would give me this affiliate link. I'm like, they're sending me $500 at a time. And I'm like, what in the world? And then one day Macy's like, you know, we're sending you like this much money for selling guide culture. And I'm like, what? Like selling became natural.
Yeah.
What was literally the hardest thing of my life became this natural thing. And so what's so cool about our like sales girl mission is it becomes who you are. And something you finally like recognize your hard work as like the payoff. Like it all just becomes one. So that's me. Now we have like 10 kids between all of us. And everything gets better when more kids come. So it all started with Lucy flashing on the Zoom, and now here we are.
Well, I was gonna say, little did Loy know that there would be freaking pumping breasts all over town after.
No kidding.
We would whip out a breast pump.
Yeah, it's a foreshadowing.
My dad grew up in a house full of girls. He had a house full of girls. He always coached my teams. God made him to coach girls for whatever reason, probably for this reason right here. So he probably didn't know how to handle men more than he knows how to handle girls. So it all worked out.
Yeah, it all worked out. So stinking funny. So when did I hear about y'all? I knew Olivia and I were talking about this the other day. Y'all did a training in someone's group that I did the ads for. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. They're good. And I had access to the group because I ran the ads for it. So I was like, oh, that's interesting. They're good. And then of course I saw Jen Bowie posting with y'all, who I love her. Caitlin Round, I met her through Jen and she had gone through it with y'all and was in Academy at the time. And then I got that dang ad for Follow-Up Flow. And I was like, so I'm opposite of y'all, where I've always loved selling. I've, you know, would sell mistletoe door to door when I was little and my grandpa would like sit in the car, make sure I didn't get kidnapped. I like sold snacks to the construction workers working in our neighborhood doing new builds. Like my dad took me to Sam's and I like had a little snack wagon. Like it's been my jam. And I found myself, I mean, I know you guys know this. I found myself in a predicament where I was selling to everyone. And so I was getting these clients that like, they were not a good fit because I did not know how to disqualify them. And so that was like a whole other ball game where like, you don't want to do that either, right? So like I could talk to anyone. I also was on sales calls that were like an hour long and was wasting my life away. And now I can close someone in, gosh, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, to the point where, testament to y'all, my team makes my proposals before I get on sales calls so that they are ready to go. And I say like, hey, after this call, you're going to get this. Because I know if you're getting on the phone with me, there's a high, the game has changed. So A, thank y'all. And B, can we just talk too about the program? So then I went through School of Sales and just kind of the evolution of that into where y'all are now as the sales girls. Because I'm sure there's people listening who are like, wait, I hate sales. I feel pushy. I feel sleazy. And it's like, y'all are changing the game for that. So I would love just for y'all to kind of talk about the evolution now from that program to into the sales girls and the challenges, because I think we're going to link it in the show notes. That's such a great place for people to jump in, or the book too, you know? So can you talk more to that?
Yes. I'm sitting here like, in my head, trying to pinpoint, you know, you never want to start like, I was born, you know, in this hospital, but like literally it could start there, but I'm not going to start there. So, I mean, the training, like where it started was a huge spreadsheet of Loy's growth and development for 30 years. He wanted to create sales training for his staff. He knew that if he created a sales culture where everyone was thinking about how can I keep customers bought in? How can I keep them engaged? How can I keep them leaning in? Even if they're in a service role, he was an insurance agent. So of course he's producing, but he wanted everybody in that office selling every time they talked to somebody. And he would present that training every single year. I mean, there's videos of him in his tiny little lunch room, like in his office with a whiteboard and his spreadsheet printed out just teaching this. And so we really created it in an organized, clean way. And of course, it started with a 4-week and an 8-week, then 12-week. I mean, there were times where we were doing lab and practicing for 3.5-4 hours at a time because there was 40 people in and we want to make sure everybody got their coach. And like, we just did not know how to execute well and what helped people get results. And so for years, we produced a training where they would learn a session and then they would do a lab where they would have a call with a coach and 7 people in the room and do some reps and then go and implement. And that worked really well. Like people were learning, they were doing a lab and then they were selling based on what they learned. But then Jordan, we did a pilot lab. And I don't know if you even know this, but we did a pilot lab where we wanted to try something different, where we took some people who had enrolled in School of Sales and we kind of asked them, we said, hey, would you be willing to try a lab differently? And we basically structured it where, hey, you're going to learn a session, you're going to implement without the lab, and then come to the lab based on what you've already done. So we flipped it on his head. We want you to practice in the world before you come and get coaching. And here's why. And people were getting results before they even came to lab. Of course, it wasn't done perfectly, right? But the activity of selling and putting your words in a framework is 100% going to give you 10 times results than not doing that. I can promise you that, right? So they were coming with results and then refining with context. You know, there were some people who really had not been in the act of selling. And so they were getting coaching and they didn't even have the context to know what the coaching was about and like how to change it in the moment. And what we found actually is that sometimes like the way we used to do it, what people could potentially be thinking is the lab was the work, right? They got the coaching and it felt like, oh, I did my job. Like I did my selling. Now I can go back into my cave, so to speak. Right. And it makes sense because you're kind of feeling nervous and it feels like a sales call, but it's not a real sales call. And so we want people to get in the flow of, no, you're actually working in the field and then you come and get coaching based on the work. And so that's where Bootcamp has come, Sales Mastery Bootcamp, which is how the program has changed. It used to be 8 weeks where it was like super intense, get it all in 8 weeks and then you're done. Now it's within a year long framework, a year-long timeline, so that you get the material, you're practicing and getting coaching for an entire year. So you can make those little corrections over time. And that has been the key. In fact, Jordan, like for years, we studied the people who were winning, like hardcore winning with this material. And I'm like, I have all these names of winners. Okay. And I'm like, okay, what have they done? And I'm like listing out what exactly are they doing? And one of the biggest common denominators is repetition of the training. They either signed up multiple times, they were in academy, they were like, you could just see their faces on the calls every single time. And then they were implementing. And so we tried so many different ways to be able to replicate that, different environments, like a membership. And we did something called the 12-week repeat, where you'd repeat it in 12, like ever, just pulling out all these rabbits of like, how can we replicate it? And that's when just so much complexity was happening. And we're like, okay, you know what? There's gonna be one program and we're gonna set it up where they can repeat it like as many times as they need to within the year. And if they execute, and we've kind of showed them how to, hey, put it in your schedule so that you can follow through, you know, how we, you know, we get stuff done around here, Jordan. We have our method of moving the needle. And that's part of Sales Mastery Bootcamp is like, hey, get this in your calendar, make it happen. And come to the and really emphasizing, hey, the work is not in the coaching calls. The work is not in the training. It is in your implementation of it. And let's get coaching on the implementation. And that has been incredible. We have another little surprise coming for our Sales Mastery Bootcamp girlies. But that's for, we're not going to talk about that right now. But it's just so incredible, just the change that I've seen. But Kat, I'll let you talk about the challenge if you want to.
Oh, I'd love to. Yeah, gosh. So just like a lot of companies, in order to sell the program or the course, whatever you have going on, webinars are a really common sales mechanism to use, and they're great. And what we have found is like being sales girls, which is not only us, but like everyone who I think comes into the orbit for any amount of time, you kind of learn to walk the walk. Hello, Jordan Perry. And you can talk to people. So webinars like became this thing where we're like, well, we know how to put together a sales presentation, but what is missing is like this back and forth. Like we love a little back and forth action with people. So as we've been working with our new business coach, we were introduced to doing a challenge, which marries coaching with content, with time. Because we used to think, and I hope this encourages somebody, but we used to say as if it were Bible, it takes a year for someone to buy from us. It takes a year for someone to spend $4,000 on our program, period. That's just it. This is a life that we have chosen. And what we actually know is that immersion creates conversion, and that people for anybody, they need 11 hours with you and at least seven touch points. And so we've created this thing, this beautiful experience called the Sell Your Offer Challenge. And we run it way more often than we did a webinar, which was just quarterly, and giving people a 5-day experience to get into those actions Macy's talking about. Go ahead and get into implementation. Go ahead and get your framework in your brain, the furniture in your brain shifted around about selling, and start to become a sales girl right now. Be her right now. And it's been so, so fun. One of our missions, as we have like reiterated on our models multiple times, but this most recent iteration is, how can we help as many people as possible? As many. It's like we used to sell 100 seats for a school sales cohort, which sounds like a lot, but I mean, I envision like, and you know, it adds up to be thousands of people over time, but I'm like, gosh, I just envision thousands and thousands and thousands of people coming into a $97 challenge or whatever, $297 challenge. Wait, $297. Yeah, $297. To get coaching from us and to write more books and all these things that really can help the masses in a huge way. So the challenge has been not only a really great experience for that, but it's also helped people know that they want this 1-year experience with us. So the conversion into buying a program has been more frequent, and we've been able to raise our prices to work with people who are, you know, selling $2,000 coaching programs or what have you. And it's been really incredible just to see their wins and their belief in themselves to live out the sales girl life.
I'll say it. I'm a Sell Your Offer Challenge alumni multiple times over. I can't.
You're a triple threat.
What's good about you, Jordan, is just like you just said with your old person that you used to run ads for, you're like, oh, I had access to the Facebook group. Well, the first challenge, we're like, oh, we want you to have access so you know what's going on. And after that, you kept buying your seat. I'm like, that's how you know what's up. That's how you know it's good, is Jordan keeps showing up.
Well, and I'm the type, like, I have to pay to show up, and I have to pay to have skin in the game and be all in, because I agree, like, with certain webinars, I'm like doing dishes while listening because it's like working and taking care of our house. And that just isn't the move. And that doesn't lead to the faster conversion. And so once y'all introduced that, and obviously selling it through ads alongside y'all, I was like, all right, I need to see what this is all about. And yeah, it was just funny. I was like, hey, we let me in. I need to see. And then I'm like, oh, this is really good. And it kind of leads into the next conversation around coaching and how you've brought that even more. Like, you always had coaches, you all always coached, but this new era of coaching within the programs and sales coaching, how can you talk about that too? And like the power of having a coach and just being coachable, just every, I'm like, if you'll geek out on it, I'll listen. And I'm guessing everyone else listening too will too.
Gosh, I have this newfound belief that everybody who coaches needs to have a coach, period. Because one, like we were just talking about this before the podcast, but we've invested many hundreds of thousands of dollars in the last few months into Myron Golden being our coach. And we have made really, really big changes. And then most recently, we went to our VIP day and like, the most tiniest things were revealed to us. And I was like, you are joking me. Like, this does not feel fun or dopamine-esque. I need some dopamine. Like, I'm sorry, but tweaking a funnel is not my idea of a fun time, you know?
Yeah.
Going, like, creating masterminds is my idea of a fun time, right? But coaches, they reveal the 1 degree shifts, right? The moving of your wrist, the moving of your elbow, like the watching you from afar and seeing things from their 5 steps ahead perspective. So that's been really cool, experiencing a coach and having the, not blind faith, but the coachability in just going with what they're saying and not saying, that doesn't sound fun or like what I want to do, but you know, thanks for the advice, right? Like that's when people probably have some coach resentment. Right. And they don't even realize it. I know this is not about our coaching program, but I feel so, we haven't had coaches. We've had mentors and we've signed up for programs and been in masterminds, but to really have someone like spend time looking at our stuff has been like none. So therefore we have really just marched to the beat of our own drum and gone with what feels like the next right thing. And it's not always the best. So I don't know, Macy can talk about our coaches because this, I will just say this really quick about us as coaches. Macy got life coach certified in 2022. And then I got certified this past year, like from July to December. And that was like really the door opening from like the sales coaching that we've always done to something new, like a new thing was like birthed in my, maybe Macy wouldn't agree with that, but that have like really birthed this new like concept by accident. So she can talk about the evolution of our coaching.
Yeah. I mean, one thing I will say about just like coachability really quick and like our coach, like I refer to Myron when we talk, I call him coach. Most people will call him Myron. Some people call him Dr. Golden. Some people call him, like I've heard him called all different things, but I like to call him coach to remind myself who he is to me and remind myself that like you, like a coach looks at you and sees what you don't see and remind myself that like what he says is something that like we're just going to do. And I find that just the people that we've had over time, when they come in and fight, and when I say fight, I just mean resist the material and try to find ways for why it won't work or why it's not for them or why it's they're different and this doesn't make sense for them. They like just are resisting results, period. But the people who come in and they're just like, I don't get it right now, but I'm going to go all in. Those are the people that win. And that's how I know they're coachable. Is when they're like, okay, I don't really get it. I don't get why you're saying this to me. I don't get like the point, but I'm going to do it anyway. That's how I know, like it's a wrap for them. And so I just want to make sure that I like maintain that composure all the time. And so when I'm like around him and when I think about him, I'm like, he's my coach. He's my coach. He's my coach. And I do what he says, even if it doesn't make sense in the moment. We always say like, when you go through our program, we're like, hey, once you're done with the program, question it all you want. Like question it, let it go, don't do it. But for the love, like do not waste your time and energy and emotion, worrying, questioning, wondering, because you will just waste this time away like that. And you know, we spent a good amount of money for a certain amount of time. Like we have this much time and if we're, I ain't going to waste it by wondering if we're doing the right thing. You know what I'm saying? So that's just one thing of being coachable. But yeah, I mean, this life coach certification, it has been huge for me. And I'll tell you why, because I always felt really insecure about my coaching. Like I always felt like I could only coach in sales skills. Like that for sure. Like you tell me your sales message and your delivery, ain't no problem, baby. I can do it with my eyes closed. But anytime someone started to go in the realm of strategy and I feel like I'm experiencing some self-sabotage and doubt and what about this? I just would be like, no, I don't do that. I don't do that. I do sales skills. And when I learned about life coaching, and I always kind of was interested in it, but the concept of life coaching, I'm like, it's so general. What, how am I supposed to coach someone on their whole life? That doesn't make any sense. I now understand it is a framework that you help put someone's thoughts through. And when you know how to coach that way, you don't ever need to know an answer. In fact, you don't give answers. You help people discover the answers within their own brain and kind of help them clean out their brain. And that's when a light went on for me of like, oh, like we can help people take specific effective action, but all these blocks that's keeping them from taking the actions, all this emotion that they're wasting on the anxiety and the worry and the whatever, like we can help them coach through that so that they can use the skills that we've taught them. So being able to, like, I would have always said, I'm a sales trainer. If someone said, what do you do? I'm a sales trainer. Now I'm like, I'm a sales coach. Like for sure. I'm a sales coach through and through. And I'm so confident in my coaching now. And I know our old, our like past students have come through the challenge and one messaged Kat and they were like, I can tell such a difference in the coaching. And a lot of that is also because Kat and I have changed so much. Like we've really coached ourselves. We've learned how to coach ourselves. And it's been hard. Like, how many times do I ask you, Kat, to coach me? I'm like, hey, I need you to coach me right now. Like I feel like something's in my way. And that's hard work to do, but it is work worth doing.
Yeah, 100%. I have probably 8 now, maybe more, life coach certified coaches on my client roster. I just love them.
I'm passionate about them.
It's just a different breed. It's just a different way of thinking, truly. And like just how they show up to things, or even like when we're talking about a campaign or a launch or different things, like they catch themselves because they know how to like manage their thoughts and to kind of go through the model. It's like there's less drama and spot. Like everyone's going to have moments where they're like looking at the numbers, trying to figure this out, but there's less like of a spiral when just in general, when my clients have coaches and or therapists too, you know, like I always, when you were talking about like, does your coach have a coach? That's like one of my biggest things is like, who is the person teaching me learning from? Because I just don't want it to be stagnant, like especially in business and life. And same with therapists too. Like I've had my therapist for 6 years. I love her. She's going to be on the podcast soon, which is just wild and hilarious. And she has a therapist, you know, like I don't ever want to be with the smartest person in the room. I don't ever want to be the smartest person in the room. And so I'm like looking for other people who think that way too. So I love that y'all have invested and you trust him, you know?
Oh yeah. And you know, Myron also talks about how, like, it kind of goes with like, how can you offer a premium value offer if you've never bought a premium value offer? It's the same principle here. And I will say we have bought major premium value offers, and that writing that check has changed us drastically, and just the offers that we now sell. So I would say, just to mirror that, it's very similar. It's important that you step into the ring if you're going to ask people to step in your ring as well.
Yes, 100%. And like, when you have that buy-in or that moment of writing the check or wiring the money or investing and going all in, you have to change, or else you're wasting your money and you're also wasting that person's time, you know? And so I'm excited for y'all and all you're doing. And you saw such a shift, because can we talk about numbers and like sales and where you were at versus where you ended up? Like, can you share that story, especially with the thought process through it?
Yeah. So we are, it's so interesting, because I have been thinking about how our third year business, or maybe our second year business, we hit $1 million in revenue, maybe second or third or halfway in between there. And I feel like most people's stories are like, I slept on the couch, you know, I lost everything and it took me so long to get back on top. And I've been thinking like, wow, we like didn't go through that. And do I need to like go through that? Like kind of questioning my own testimony in a sense. And then I'm like, wait a minute. No, this is the story. Like, this is the story that you can hit $1 million in revenue with one product and one offer and sales skills, like, period. You really can. We get to be a demonstration of that and how quickly it can happen when you do it well. And we stayed there, like, with one product, one offer, sales skills, one product, one offer. So for 3 years, we were at 1.2 to 1.5, and we added offers, we added people, Oh my Lord, Jordan, you know, we've been through it. We have gone in it. You know what
it
I'm saying?
Reminds me of now that's what I like to call music, like all the volumes. You guys are on like 150
of it. Yeah. Jordan was like, hey, I don't know if we can keep going like in this relationship, because this is a lot. And honestly, I was like, girl, I get it. Like, same, you know?
We had a DTR conversation.
We had a DTR. And I'm so glad that we did, because like, it was so exciting to be like, Jordan, we're with you. And here's what's next. And it's so much better, is it not, Jordan? Can you not retweet? 100%. 100%. But anyway, so we like basically had a moment of like, we're about to have to change who we are and go through this thought process. Our goal is a $20 million business. And part of life coaching is, okay, a $20 million result is coming from a completely different $20 million brain. And right now we're in a $1.5 million brain. And people will think, well, when I get to $20 million, then I'll do this. When I get to $20 million, then I'll feel this. Then I'll think this. But you actually have to think and feel and be $20 million you now to get $20 million. And so we've been in that process, and it has been excruciatingly painful and like insanely amazing all at the same time. And so Q4, we just turned our lives upside down, turned our business upside down, turned our brains upside down. And we ended up doing what we did all last year in Q4. We did $1.5 million. And so total was $2.5 million a year. So we broke the threshold of that 1.2, 1.5. And this year we are going for 4. And then 20 very, very soon after. And yeah, it's been wild. It's been a wild ride, and I'm just so excited. We are experiencing a lot of things in the most fun way. And the things is like with goals, it's just like the way I see it is it just becomes a target and a focus so that you know what problem to solve and so that you can see what your mind is made of. And it's not like we better hit this. It's like, whoa, like how cool would it be with two women with a Wi-Fi password and a laptop or Wi-Fi connection and a laptop? Like, we can make a $20 million business. What? Like, we can do this? Like, why not? That's kind of the heart and the energy behind it. And that has made it really fun.
Well, and I love, you said this a while ago about goals. You were like, I would hate to limit myself to just one thing, where it's more like this bullseye where it's like, well, what
it's
if
just
we
a target?
Yeah. Like, what if we just freaking do 7 million this year?
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And it's like, that's why with my clients, we set good, better, and best, because it's like, let's look at a spectrum here.
Yeah.
And see and zoom out and go from there. But
yeah, I mean, our goal in Q4 was 700,000 and we did 1.5 or yeah, 1.5, a little over a million, close to it. And, but our bullseye was 700, you know?
Right.
So we'll see. It's that's the whole energy. It's like, we'll see, let's have fun.
Yeah. How, so for someone listening who maybe has felt so rigid in their goal setting and I have to do this and I have to do that, what would some coaching or like ideas around that be, or like a good act, kind of like an action item, maybe from each of all that they could put into practice today. And Kat, I would love it if you actually touched on journaling after too, and we can talk about that. But what's something people, if they're like, I've set my revenue goal for the year, this is what it's going to be, I've always gotten stuck, how could they start thinking differently to start hitting those goals?
That is, it's a good question, because I had this epiphany during Q4 after we, I don't know if it was before or after we broke the 700,000, probably after. But I had this moment where I was like, oh my gosh, we are doing completely different things than we planned on doing to hit the 700,000. And it, like, it's working out how we quote wanted it to, completely differently than we planned. And I had this written in like a nice little soundbite that I don't know where it is right now, but, oh, I know what it was. We got to our goal, not because of what we planned to do, but because of who we planned to be. And who we planned to be was $20 million Macy, $20 million Kat, $20 million team. And Macy had given us this whole like presentation on how do you cross the river of misery. Oof, from this.
That was a good, that was a good presentation. And you know what? I want to link that in the show notes.
Please
too,
do.
Y'all have that on YouTube, right?
It's on YouTube, yeah.
Ooh, we'll link that.
And so it what's crazy is we had the $700,000 goal. And let me just tell you, in 2020, I was with Natalie Ellis at this Boss Babe event in person. And she said, what's your goal, everybody? I raised my hand in front of a room of 300 women. I said, 4 million. Because I, not only do I believe that we can do it, but I'm like, this, we're the, we didn't say the sales girls at the time, but I'm like, we're the sales girls. Of course we're going to do this. You know, it was our first full year working together. But what had played out for so long was like the same actions, but harder, the same actions, but harder. And, you know, new webinar, more people, more this, more that. And it was like, why isn't this working? So clearly actions are not always the answer. So when we get this $20 million identity presentation from Macy, like without it even becoming this overhaul, it was like a subtle whisper of this is who I am now. This is who I am now. You know, you're safe to make a decision because this is who you are now. And I mean, within, I'm trying to think, within 2 weeks of that, that kind of mindset shift of what does $20 million Kat do? We like invested in Myron, which was a $350,000 year-long coaching program at the time. And we, you know, changed our program and things like that because we're looking at ourselves from a different point of view, a different vantage point. So that's like, that's the craziest part, is it's not about like action items. It's about like, what does that person, what does she think about and what actions does she take from that place of belief or from that wisdom that she has 5 years down the road? You know, what's easy for her now? What does she not do anymore? What does she love to do now? And just embracing that, because I think what I said at the time was that I like could read funnels, like $20 million Kat can like read a funnel. And you just complimented us before.
Yes, you can. I just feel like I've been holding you and patting you on your head. And now like you're taking steps, like you're walking outside the stroller. I've been pushing you. And now you're like holding my hand on the outside of the stroller. And you're like, I love it because you're making me think about things. I'm like, shoot, that's a good question. That's good. I'm
yeah, so,
man, Kat, that's a good point though, Kat. Like, we had a big conversation about that. Is like, we have to know what marketing is because we could sell, right? $1 million with sales skills and Instagram story. Like, we can do that. But that is a cool full circle moment. I didn't connect those two. That's awesome.
Yeah. I love, it's so funny because y'all used to post on your stories, like, you don't need to buy ads. Like, you need to learn how to sell. And like, you have, I mean, it, I agree. You need to learn how to sell before you can buy ads and have them work. But like, there was this rub and I loved it because like, we were still cordial and polite, but you'd post something before I was really in the bubble. And I'm like, dang, like, but it, I felt this, like, it's true. Like, marketing without sales is for nothing. Like,
that's right.
Love your website. Do people buy from it? You know, like, it's like, your is right. your offer good? Because go sell it to people and then put fuel behind it. You know,
a good question to ask is like, are you hiding behind ads or are you leveraging with ads?
Yeah.
And you know, if you ask yourself that, you know the answer.
Oh,
and when I say hiding, I mean like doing that instead of selling or thinking that that's selling, you know?
Yes. I think, are you hiding behind making, you know, reels every day? Writing emails, like doing things that aren't like the needle moving sales things, like 100% people hide behind these other tasks that I loved what you said, Kat, like, what are you not doing? And so like, I'm not pregnant now, but like in my mind, I am like $1 million mom to be. Like, that is freaking what I'm living at. And it's like, okay, she gets up earlier and she does this, this, and this, but like, someone else is doing our laundry right now in this season. Like, our amazing cleaning lady is here today. Like, there are things that I'm like, I have to outsource this now, learn how to run our home better, grow this business. So I am her. I can't just be pregnant down the road and like expect $1 million a year to fall into my lap and then be like, how am I going to act now? It's like, I love it's, and I think you all had said this before. It's almost sometimes about like, what are you removing versus what are you adding in? Like, you're not telling people do these 45 things and you'll do this. It's like, you need to analyze what you're doing now because there's some things you probably need to take out.
Oh yeah. 20% of your actions are what's driving 80% of your results. And therefore 80% of it's like fluff, right? Like what is that, you know? But Jordan, what's so cool about that story and like to demonstrate the identity concept is motherhood is going to be so, so fun for you. Because you are already a mom in your head. Like, you are already mom to be. Like, this is who I am. And therefore, the baby's going to come into this world with someone who already has been preparing for him or her.
I love,
you know,
I love that. Well, and Macy was coaching someone. This is why in the show notes, the challenge, next challenge is linked and get your spot. Because Macy was coaching someone who's having a baby in a couple of months and who was like kind of spinning her wheels. And I get that. I could see myself doing it too. Macy's like, you're like, a baby needs a crib. It needs a place to sleep and like everything will figure it out. And so can y'all touch on babies make you better and just what you have learned and how you can encourage someone who wants kids down the road or has kids? And you, like, you are not living out disgruntled motherhood, which is for a while what I saw being posted. And I was like, I don't even know if I want to be a mom, if that's what it's like. Like, truly, I was like, wait, and I know, I mean, the Lord has put that calling on my heart and you guys are showing people like, it doesn't have to be this way, you know? So can you speak to that?
There was one time Kat was at my house spending the night with me because we were doing a training and she was teaching. And I was like crying on the couch, thinking about, I was not pregnant. I knew I wanted to start a family, but I could not wrap my mind around doing this and being a mom. I couldn't. And Kat has always had a much better mind about this. She had a mom growing up that worked and like, that was like normal for her. And I just remember her looking at me like, girl, like, you're going to be okay. And I was like, I'm not going to be okay. So I just want you to know, like, I have been there. Like, I know exactly what that feels like to feel like you've got to choose. And, one thing that has been so encouraging to know is, well, first of all, when you have such a small amount of time to do something in like a nap time, I will get more done in a nap time than I will in an entire day. Before, when I didn't have kids, I had an entire day to myself. I will get more done in a 2-hour nap time than I used to in an entire day. Easy, no problem. And because you train your mind to be hyper-focused and be hyper-focused on the 20%, you have no other choice, which is good. And like when a baby first comes into the world, I will tell you, you have the most time, you have the most like space to think because the baby just lays there. It just lays there.
They're not busy yet.
They're not busy. And so what that means for you is that your tolerance can grow over time. Right. Like you can slowly build muscle. You can slowly build like your brain, like focus. You can slowly build your skills, your motherhood skills. And eventually your like ability to get your baby to sleep and get them on schedule and know what to eat. Like that becomes on autopilot, like brushing your teeth and you don't have to think about it. Just like building a business. At first, it takes a lot of time, a lot of energy. And then once you know what to do, you just know what to do. Same exact thing with motherhood. And I will tell you like, My mom is like freaking amazing. She gave me the best childhood and she stayed home. And I definitely watched her have a really hard time when I left, when we all left and the house was empty. And I remember thinking like, man, I wish she had something to help her. I wish she had something. I wish she did, you know? And when I think about motherhood and business, I like cannot wait to be the mom that my sons can come to me when they like need coaching. Like whether it's in sports or they don't know it's coaching, right? But whether it's a sports thing or their girlfriend or they're really working on their test and they want to try this project and they're nervous, like I'm going to have something so valuable to offer. And that is my brain. My brain and my ability to know what's going on in their mind and come alongside them and help them sell themselves on themselves. The fact that like that fires me up when 9-year-old Rush comes up to me and is like, Mom, I have a problem. I need help. I know exactly how to coach him through it. That fires me up so much. So I don't know if that helped or answered the question. Kitty has a lot of thoughts too, I'm sure.
It's so good. What do you think, Kat? As you're pregnant with your third baby right now.
Tell me about it. That's what I was thinking about because Macy said, you know, we haven't had this like broke on the couch moment since, you know, guide culture has started. But I had that moment before. I came in, like, that was my, like, network marketing story was, like, broke on the couch, making, you know, $1,000 a year. And then Lucy came. And I remember thinking, like, can a kid really change your life and all this stuff? And the clouds certainly did not part when she was born. Like, she did not give me anything. But what did happen was the constraint of time, the wanting to be somebody for her. And like my prayer was like, God, make something of me, like help me become something that I know that I can be. And so like her, like honestly, the babies that come in and like the way that they make this schedule was really beautiful. And then so now fast forward to having Judah number two in the guide culture, like flow. Macy and I have babies in the off year. So this is her. We might all be done after this. Who knows? But
no, it's truly like I have to wrap my head around like even right now I'm like, what videos do I need Kat to film before this baby comes out?
Like
who's doing what? Like, and I'm just a small part of your puzzle, so kudos. So yeah, with this third baby, what are kind of your thoughts around that?
So every baby's brought a new evolution, but I will say, I was actually thinking this in my journaling. I have told Macy that I'm pregnant four times because I had two pregnancy losses and then there was Judah and then now there's a baby girl coming in a couple months. But anyway, like, so what's been interesting about being in business, having a baby, it's similar to Macy, like her crying on the couch moment, which is like, how is this going to interrupt what's happening? And I hate saying that, but like, then I was coaching myself and I thought, yes, life is different and you make it work. Like life is different and you get to like meet yourself in a new way. So it's not that things should stay the same. It's that things change and it's great. Like it's perfect how it is. And so that's been really freeing because like just having all these like pregnancies, like it forces Macy and I to be like, all right, 9 months from now, like what are we going to be doing? And just like planning for that. So I will say for anyone who's like freaked out about like, well, what's my business going to look like when the baby comes? Like, that's okay. Like have a moment to yourself and just think about it and know they do lay there. You do need to take care of yourself. You do need to get into the right mindset that this is all going to be amazing. It's all going to be amazing mm-hmm. because truly some of our best stories have come out of a baby being born.
Oh yeah.
Like when Rush was born out, like core memory, I had him propped up on my iPad, like background photo while I'm like doing sales calls, like the end of the week, because Macy gave birth during launch week. And, you know, it's just like funny how these kids have really, been such like a push pull anchor like situation in our life. So
yeah. And I think another thing, like just with new moms, just thinking about what am I going to do with my baby, you know?
Yeah.
I used to just panic thinking about someone else taking care of my kid for me. And I would just encourage you to believe that there's a perfect person out there for you or a perfect solution out there for you, whatever that solution might be. And I will say like rush to school, like thank God, because I would never be able to teach him what they have taught him. Like he would have missed out so much if I didn't put him in a school. And then we have this amazing nanny who loves Arch. Like she is her, like she is a part of our family. And so it's easy to dream about worst case scenario. Like your kid is just going to be with someone terrible. And that is not true. Like it is simply not true. There is a possibility. There is a way to have a perfect person that's perfect for you. And just practicing believing that before baby, I think is really, really helpful.
I love that. And I love that people can, and we'll link your Instagram, but it's the Sales Girls mm-hmm. Official, right? On mm-hmm. Instagram. Yeah. So you also show that babies and Kat, you've talked about this, kids can be your catalyst.
Oh, yeah.
In life and business, not your excuse. And so I think too, for people listening who have kids who may, you know, that have maybe believed that narrative, you can flip it, which is amazing. Mm-hmm. And B, follow them to just see that journey in business yeah. of how you can have both. You really can.
Yeah. Well, our book was like so easy to write because the way we thought about it was if something were to happen to us, what would we want our kids to believe? Mm. And it was like, oh, no brainer. People think about their content constantly. How should I frame this? What should I write? And from that lens, it's like, oh, easy. And we wrote it in 2 weeks and it has made us lots and lots of money
yeah.
because of that frame of mind.
Yeah. And that we'll have that link to get a yeah. copy of Persuade for Good. It's so good. So as we're wrapping up, I love our conversation today. I wanted to ask you one more business question and then we'll go into the fun part as we close up. So what is one way that y'all see women leaving money on the table right now? And what is an action step they could take towards getting that money back? What would you say?
I would say they need to take a book, a cue from you, Jordan Perry, and be direct. You are so direct in the best way, in the best way. In fact, I have a YouTube video coming out. I'm telling a story about you. So be on the lookout for that. But, you know, I notice I've been in the room with so many female entrepreneurs and I notice someone will be like, oh, what do you do? And they'll be like, oh, I run ads or, you know, I'm an ads manager. Or I'm a coach. But they're not thinking about like, hey, this is how ads could help you. This is where like this service and this offer could fit into your life specifically. And Jordan, what I love about you is like, we were public about taking a break from ads. We were public about like, you don't need, you know, and all you had every reason to think, oh, that's not the right time for me. It's not the right time for me to like, you know, position myself as potentially selling my offer. You came in and you sat down and you said, and you believed. You said, if you don't put money behind your ads, I will. And with someone who, a woman who like has an offer, I want you to believe so much that you have no other option but to be so direct because you see the transformation that's possible on the other side of your offer. And I think most women are thinking about, what do they think about me? What about like my offer? What about my business? Instead, flip the script, go look at someone else's business and offer, believe in them so much so that you have to approach them and be like, you need me. And here's why. Here's why it matters for you.
Look at this. What's in it for them? What's in it for them? I keep it right on my computer so that when I'm on calls or talk, I mean, it's just such a reminder every time I come into my office. Like, it doesn't – money – I mean, and Persuade for Good talks about this too, but money is the byproduct of being so people-centric. And so, no, that's great advice. What about you, Kat? Any advice for where people are leaving money on the table?
Yes. I would say it goes in the same line of being direct, but be direct with your curiosity so that you can do what Macy just said. Like, don't be afraid to ask the questions. When you are so certain in your offer, yourself as an expert, we believe so much in going all in on one thing so that when someone says ads manager, they say makeup artist, they say who's the best photographer in blah, blah, blah city that like your name comes to them. When you're that person, you can be the doctor and say, you know, metaphorically, what, how much do you weigh right now? The reason I'm asking is because that's going to help determine what medication we put you on so you can like have a baby or whatever. Like when you are the expert, you can be direct. And someone is so thankful that you're direct with them to find out their diagnosis or, you know, the prognosis and all this stuff. But when people are like talking about your cat or the, you know, what did you do for summer camp? Like for your kids and like, oh my gosh, I know, like it's so hot outside. When you get into those type of conversations, of course, you're not going to get the info to have leverage to then sell your offer. So it all goes together. And I just don't think like women have been encouraged or taught like to be able to ask the pointed questions so that there is any leverage. So if you feel like there's no leverage, you have no information about someone to go talk to them, that's why. But like another point from Jordan, get in the room, go find out about them, be so fascinated by them, sign up for their program, right? Like go be like their number one fan, their number one buyer. And all of a sudden you're going to experience what it feels like to be like, oh, I know exactly how I would diagnose them because I'm the expert.
Yeah. Oh, curiosity all day long. And like, it's funny. One of my old coaches was like, you don't have to buy people's programs to be able to work with them down the road. And I was like, no, I know that. Oh no, I do know that. And if it's something I know I can help and it also helps me, why would I not? Why would I not get so freaking curious to see? So I love that. I believe so strongly in being in the room. And I mean, I've like started keeping track of how much money I make from being in certain rooms because that's like, it's a thing. And so before you wrap up and go to the fun part and wrap up this call, can you tell them a little bit about Summit? Because I would love for people listening, whether local or not, I have girlfriends coming in town for it. So would you mind just touching on that for a minute?
Goodness.
We need so to get fun.
Sales Girl Summit is happening in June, mid-June, the 12th through the 14th. She's going to be 3 days, people. 3 days. This is actually being announced right now, currently, as you're listening, because it was 2 days and now it's 3 days. And the reason for that is more time to be immersed with who you need to be immersed with and with what content you need to hear and how to really become a new brain transplant in 3 days for your business, your identity. And we're so freaking excited to have a bunch of, you know, girls come in and sales girls go out. Like it's going to be so, so exciting. So not only get your like business bestie, but her business bestie, like this is going to be a chain reaction of honestly, everyone's life being not just better, but easier. Because when you work with sales girls, oh my gosh, you can like speak so much faster, clearer, like the wavelengths just wave, you know?
It's a different breed and they're just good freaking humans. And so that's what I've loved too, is anyone I've met within the guide culture bubble they've always just been great people to be around and it benefits your business and just you as a human. So no, we'll have that linked. And if you sign up, message me so we can all get together there and it'll be so good. So this is the Clicks and Giggles podcast. And I know y'all are in that grind building that $20 million business, but what, when you have pockets of time for fun or relaxation, I know it's, and you have two, you all have little ones, right? What, the answers are so funny. Like Susie Holman's like, I like to take baths or, you know, like there's like different, like it doesn't have to be like, I'm going to like Six Flags. Mine is like, I love a freaking like cup of tea at night to unwind and like close the door on the workday. What are you're probably like Jordan? I have a baby. What do you even think about?
No, it's funny. Well, I actually Austin and I were just talking about this last night. He's like, Macy, I feel like every second of our life is accounted for, and I'm like, yeah, it does kind of feel like that. And the alternative is being bored. And I will tell you, being bored is way more exhausting than having like movement to the next
a full life.
Next.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I'm telling you, it's 10 times better. So it like I would never trade this for anything. And I will say, can I just tell you one of my favorite moments of my life with Kitty? And I replay it in my head often, and I cannot wait to do it again in a couple of days. We had just finished, I think, an in-person training, or we'd done something in-person, and we went on a little walk, and we decompressed. We're in our workout clothes, and we were like, we want to go get like a good steak. And so we walked into Ruth's Chris, which I'd never been before, but I was like, I really want to try. And we're in our like workout clothes, which just, you're not supposed to wear, but we were doing, it was like a Tuesday night at like 5:30, you know, just in a little corner booth, having the most delicious hot, it was so hot. And I love my food hot, the most hot, most delicious steak. And you're just eating by yourself. It's just such a, like, even just with adults. And we didn't really talk much. Like, we didn't say much. We just ate in silence and just had our Coke Zeros and our salads. And it was a core memory. Like, that is a moment that I just am chasing all the time.
A high. Well, I hope you get your silent steak soon. I love that. Yeah. No, a meal in silence for a mom of kids two and under, I'm sure, is such a hot.
Yeah. It was a hot commodity to get. Yeah. I mean, we weren't silent. We just, you know, little talks here and there, but mostly enjoying our food. Enjoying it was it. So good. Yeah.
How about you, Kitty, especially with baby number three coming?
Yeah. Lucy right now, like, loves ice cream, like, so much. She's like, can I have, can I have, oh my gosh, she uses that line from Home Alone. Carl said, do you want two? I'm gonna give you two scoops. She said, give me three scoops. I'm not driving. And so now, now she's like all up on this ice cream kick. But anyway, so that's been like a fun little moment before the world turns upside down and Judah's already asleep and everything. But I will say, to Mei Mei's point, in this season, like, our little like treat, you know, is like crawling into a hotel bed, like knowing that your bed's made. I'm sorry, but try to beat it. We're traveling a lot right now. And so we miss our kids, obviously, but they're so well taken care of and we get to crawl into like a crisp white bed. So
I'm flying to Charlotte tonight for work and I like cannot wait to get in that bed. Like, I love Brad and there's nothing like he's like, what are your hobbies? I'm like, getting my hair blown out and staying at a hotel. He's like, all right.
That's literally, I mean, having like a nice restaurant just like downstairs is and like they just make breakfast for you, you know. It's just,
yeah, you're like,
it's
you keep your
a hotel omelet. Yes,
yeah. You're like, you keep your all inclusive. I need a night at a nice hotel, and she back. You know.
Oh my gosh, Austin's like, do you need to go spend a night by yourself sometimes? And I'm like, yes, I do.
That's what a lot of my mom friends do. Well, y'all are the best. I'm so thankful you were here today. And if any of this has resonated with you, head over, give them a follow. Definitely get in their next challenge. You may even see me in there. And I cannot wait to see and celebrate with y'all when you hit and exceed 4 million this year and on that journey to 20 million. Thank y'all. I love you so much. And that's a wrap. Thank you for listening. If you were inspired by this episode, be sure to check out the show notes for the linked resources and my free guide, 3 Ways to Know You're Ready for Ads. If weekly episodes aren't enough for you and you want more of your favorite click magnet, you can connect with me over on Instagram at launchwithjordan. I host regular challenges and drop valuable tips that will help make your marketing click, connect, and convert. And if you think it would inspire a friend, send it, share it, just for clicks and giggles.